Greetings again to each of you this evening. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, good again to see your smiling faces, and your presence is much appreciated, and I want to bless you and thank you. I can hardly believe that our time together is rapidly coming to a close. And I want you to know on behalf of my wife and I, and also especially, this goes for all of you, but and especially also the youth, we have greatly enjoyed our time together with you dear folks. Like I said, I think it was the night I did the MTM presentation, I had no idea that there was so many of you. And it was a great joy and a great blessing to get to know many of you. We want to thank you for your love. We want to thank you for your hospitality, especially the Bylers, William and Sarah, staying at their place, eating at their table many times. I really enjoyed that, and we say thank you. And thank you to all of you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your financial support to MTM freely and personally. Freely we have received, freely we will give unto those that are perhaps not as blessed as we are, and namely by going forth of the gospel and discipleship teaching through MTM. So we thank you for that, and may the Lord reward you openly for your labor of love and your gift of love to my dear wife and I. We are very appreciative, and we say thank you. I can hardly believe that we're to the end of the meetings and fellowship with you in the Word of God, fellowship with the Word, has been a blessing and a joy. And again, we want to say thank you. I invite you for a final message here this evening to open your Bibles in some prophetic verses in Isaiah 60. Ever since, I think we did the MTM presentation, what was it? Was it Thursday night? And I spoke briefly about the Muslims and the Muslim ministry. There was quite a few of you said you'd love to hear more, and I made a comment that night in regards to that God has some specific promises to the Muslim people that are in the Scripture. Now, I'm going to be looking tonight just in giving you an advance, maybe you would say a heads up, is that the primary principle we're going to be looking here is the Great Commission. The commission that God has given the church, to the church of Jesus Christ. He has empowered his people, his church, to make disciples of all nations. And so the broader picture here is the Great Commission. Going and preaching the gospel to all, every creature. Mark 16. Making disciples of all nations. That's in Matthew 28. As the Father sent Jesus. Jesus says, so send I you. With the same passion, with the same vision, with the same burden, with the same purposes that God the Father sent his Son. And he primarily came, my dear people, I'm just giving an introduction. We'll get here. He primarily came for one purpose, and that was to seek and save the lost. And in the end of his time here, yes, he gave his life as a ransom for all. He gave his life to pay our sin debt. And I'm so thrilled that Jesus Christ, in his great love for you and I, but not only you and I, but for the whole world, he gave his life to redeem us, save us. And so sometimes we begin to think that salvation is only about me. No, he gave his life for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isaiah 60. is a specific prophecy scripture in regards to Jesus Christ giving his life for the world. But it's very pointed and it's very specific here. But it includes the whole world. And he wants to use you and I to take the gospel to all lost souls. Let us again, if we could, stand to our feet. And we're going to be looking at just the first seven verses of Isaiah 60. Prophetic verses fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Arise, verse 1, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Spoke about God's glory earlier, in an earlier message. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to thee. Beautiful promises. Thy sons shall come from afar, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Speaking again of kindreds, tribes, and nations coming to Christ. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall be converted, shall come unto thee. Multitudes of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Medan and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. We'll cease reading there. Father, we thank you for these prophetic scriptures fulfilled in many ways in Jesus Christ. And I pray that you would speak through them to our hearts and what you have for us in Jesus Christ. In taking the gospel to all kindreds, tribes, nations, and peoples for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated, and may God honor the reading of his word. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. Now, there are those that would feel that this is the Father prophetically speaking to his Son. And this may be true. Arise, shine, for thy light is come. The glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. We spoke about that out of Isaiah 40 one evening. How when the King, the Lord of glory, comes to our hearts, he brings his glory, the outshining brightness of his excellence and his presence with him. That's his glory. That's why it's a glow that radiates out of us. His glory. Arise. It's going to shine out of our lives as Christ makes his home and indwells us by the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then he says, I'm looking at the first three verses here. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth. And I think we would agree. There is great darkness in the world today. Perhaps maybe like even us old timers do not remember the things that are going on in the world. Very dark. Even in our country. School shootings. Murders. Sad commentary of this nation of things that are going on as people turn their back on the Lord. Gross darkness shall cover the earth. But it's bigger than that. every day in the news, if you have at all take a look at the news, the Middle East and ISIS and gross darkness across the face of this earth, beheadings and Christians being persecuted and beheaded by ISIS in Egypt. Gross darkness upon the earth. But Jesus Christ is light and life. Russia, Ukraine. I am not a news commentator, and this is not about the news, okay? But I think you and I would agree. And right in our own communities, killings and shootings and murder and on. Enough of bad news. We're preaching good news tonight. Hallelujah. But the Bible already speaks about, behold, darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness. But the Lord, in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, shall rise upon thee, and his glory in the midst of this great gross darkness, God says, the Lord shall arise upon you, upon me, upon his Son. It began, the Lord Jesus Christ. And his glory, the glory of the Lord, shall be seen upon you and upon me. And it is a glory light that is God's heart is to drive back this gross darkness in bringing souls to Christ. And Gentiles, there is a glorious promise. Gentiles, and you are already in this prophecy because I think most of us in this room come from Gentile lineage. Am I correct? We are already in this promise, hallelujah, because the disciples obeyed it and took the light of the glorious gospel. And as it began there in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth, and it has covered not the whole earth. No, it hasn't. The advent of the gospel. It has not covered the whole earth, but it has covered to the portions and places where we are, and the gospel has come to us. The gospel light has come to us, but it's not covered the whole earth. There is. And Gentiles shall come. That's a promise. That's a prophetic promise that we can wrap our hearts and minds around. Gentiles are going to come to this glorious light of this glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Promise. There's many things that we put a lot of effort into with no promise of success. But when it comes to evangelizing and witnessing for Jesus Christ and letting your light shine for him, there's a glorious promise. They shall come. And I get excited about this one. I get very excited. And I'm going to have to keep my excitement down or my voice will zone out on me again. So you can pray for me. Arise, shine. My dear brother, my sister, in Christ Jesus, your light has come. We should not ask what's wrong in the world. We shouldn't be asking that. No, it's the wrong question. For that diagnosis has already been given. I just gave it to you. That diagnosis is right from the scripture. Gross darkness shall cover the earth. What we really need to be asking, my dear people, is what has happened to the salt and the light? Where is the salt and the light that's going to drive back the darkness? That's what we really need to be asking. And as you can see, that's not original with me. That's what tonight's message is all about. Where is the salt and the light? Are you that salt and light? Right where God has you and letting your glory light of Jesus Christ shine and witnessing and evangelizing and sharing the gospel message with the lost and the dying around you. In the midst of this gross dark, you say we're here in the northwest and it's not that bad. Not what I've been hearing from you, many of you. It's all around us as well. Doesn't matter if it's here. it's other places. The call is to begin in Jerusalem and go beyond to Judea, all of Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. So we shouldn't ask what's wrong with the world. That diagnosis has already been stated clearly in the scripture. Rather, we should ask what has happened to the salt and the light. These promises here in the beginning of this chapter, most Bible scholars would feel that these are prophetic promises of the Father to His Son, and I would agree with that, as the Father is speaking to His Son, because it speaks about Gentiles coming to thy light. It speaks about the Lord, the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. It would sort of suggest that perhaps, but the Lord shall rise upon thee. Perhaps it is speaking about God the Father promises His Son that He is going to be Lord of lords, King of kings, and every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus. Can we get these lights up here? I don't think they need to be on. Thank you. That makes it a little better, doesn't it? Sorry about that. Somehow it's all behind me and I'm not seeing. Yes. And so, thank you, Brother Ed. That God the Father promising the Lord Jesus Christ that every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is King of kings, Lord of lords. Yes, I would agree that potentially that is correct, but it's bigger than that. Is there a difference, my dear people? These promises to Jesus Christ by the Father. Is there any difference? Prophetic promises of the Father to all who have Christ living within them. If these promises are to Jesus Christ, and you and I are sitting here this evening, and you have Christ within you, and your light of Christ has come, and His glory is come upon you. Is there any difference between Father speaking to His Son and these scriptures applied to Him or to you and I with Christ in you and Christ in me, the hope of glory? Is there any difference? Yeah, that's right. There's really no difference. At least there ought not be any difference. That's correct. So whether these are prophetic promises to Christ as King of kings, Lord of lords, or whether it is Christ in you, it should really be. It means the same thing. So we can make a personal application that this is for you and for I. Read it in that context. I'm not going to read it again, but you go back over and you read it in this. Oh, this is talking about me with Christ in me, the Spirit of Jesus Christ in me. And this is speaking to me. They will come. The Gentiles will come, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, verse 3, kings to the brightness of Christ rising and His glory within you. Again, beautiful promises of that souls will come to Christ when we let our light shine. Just as Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, He said, let your light so shine that they will see your good works, and they too will glorify your Father which is in heaven. Gentiles shall come to thy light, kings to the brightness of their rising. Nations shall come, kindreds shall come, languages shall come, tongues shall come. They're all there in Revelation chapter 7. We see them there in Revelation chapter 7. They're there. Well, the challenge that comes to the church, whose responsibility is it to get them there? You see, we're somewhere between these prophetic promises that they will come in Christ Jesus and Christ in you. We have prophetic promises here, and we go all the way to Revelation 7, and we see that they're there at the throne, worshiping the Lamb in heaven. So we're somewhere between these prophetic promises. And we're not, they're yet not in the at the throne, in the throne room, in the presence of Jesus Christ. They're in their white robes in Revelation 7. They're not yet there. We're somewhere in between. Whose responsibility is it to get them there? Yes, thank you. I like interactive teaching. And this is a bit more of a teaching. That's right. It is the church's responsibility. Christ, God, has given these things unto us to be ambassadors for Christ. With Christ in us, we are the ones to go and let the light shine, that they would see the light. And the promise here is the light of Jesus, they'll come. It says the forces of the Gentiles, verse 5. This is very interesting prophecy. It doesn't just say Gentiles, it says the forces of Gentiles. And this word Gentiles is nations. It's Gawi is the word, and it means different heathen nations. People groups is what it really means. They shall come. This, the forces of the Gentiles, it means they are mighty, powerful, fierce, barbaric, warrior-like nations, people groups, who would have been aforetime Antichrist. They're against Christ. He is, in these prophetic scriptures, God is prophetically taking us to a specific group of people. Now, you just park on this while. This word forces means mighty, powerful, fierce, barbaric, warrior-like people, nations, who are antichrist. Does that remind you of anything of today and the great darkness that's upon the earth? Does that ring any bells? You're really thinking. That's good. You see, he's going somewhere with this. Purposeful, pointed, specific people groups. Not just a general term of Gentiles, but specific. Who are these people? Now, to understand the following verses, verse 6 and verse 7, we must first understand the Abrahamic blessing. If we don't understand the Abrahamic blessings, verse 6 and 7 will not open up to us. So the Abrahamic blessing in chapter 12 of Genesis, verses 1 and 3, God calls Abraham out of Babylon. And he says, Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through you, through thy seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed. He says, I'm going to bless you. And through you, all the families, it really means all nations are going to be blessed. I'm just going to give a quick overview of this. Galatians chapter 3, verse 14, speaks of the Abrahamic blessing, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, the blessing of Abraham, the Abrahamic blessing, God called Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you. And through your seed, through your descendants, they're going to be like the innumerable stars of the heaven and the innumerable sand of the sea. That blessing that God gave Abraham went to personally to Abraham by God, personally to Abraham's son Isaac, personally, and then also to Isaac's son, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and we serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob now. And then from Jacob, his wife, which one? The blessing of the lineage of Christ? The lineage of Christ? Who said Leah? That's correct. That's right. So it's Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Jacob's wife, Leah, and their son, Judah. Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah, that's right. And Jesus Christ is the Lion of Judah. And so that's the lineage. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Leah, their last son, Judah. And from Judah, Jesus Christ. But that's not it. The lineage of Jesus Christ comes through that lineage. He is the Lion of Judah. But it doesn't stop there. It comes right on down into this congregation, into these pews, and the blessing of Abraham through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as we see here in Jesus Christ, the Spirit in you to Christ in you. So these promises of the Abrahamic blessing come right down to you. Blessed to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth in Christ Jesus, as I gave you the lineage. So it doesn't stop there. It comes right home to you and I in Christ Jesus through this promise of the Spirit through faith. That's what Galatians chapter 3 verse 14 is saying. Now who are these nations? And yes, William, you were getting ahead of me a little bit. I was going after the lineage of Christ. I think you know where I'm going here. Who are these nations that God is focusing on here in Isaiah 60? The verses that follow. Who are these nations who will be converted unto the light of Jesus Christ? Prophetically promised here in the lineage of Abraham, right on through to Jesus Christ. Verse 6, the multitudes of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Medan and Ephah, and all they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense. And it says, they shall, promise, they shall, prophetic promise, show forth the praises of the Lord. Here's a prophetic promise in the blessing of Abraham that is fulfilled in the blessing of Abraham coming to the Lord, of the blessing of Christ coming to these people. Who are these people? Now we're getting to William's answer. Who are they? These are the six sons of Keturah. Is that what you were thinking, William? These are the six sons of Keturah. After Sarah died, after Abraham's wife, Sarah, after she dies, and after Isaac has taken Rebekah as his wife, in Genesis chapter 25, it says these words. First three verses. Then again, Abraham. After Isaac had a wife, then Abraham took a wife. Her name was Keturah. And then we have, and she bare him these sons, Zimran, Jokshan, Medan. See, I have the ones underlined that are referred to here in Isaiah 60, verse 6. And there's more there in the next generation. And we also have Sheba there in following generations. So these are the six sons of Keturah. Now, what is outstanding about this? Those six sons are the fathers of the Arabian nations, 22 nations stretching from the Atlantic Ocean all the way across North Africa into the Middle East, all the way to the Indian Ocean. 22 Arabian nations. And their father is Abraham. And God said, I'm going to bless you. And so since these nations, people, are the descendants of Abraham, there is a blessing of God upon these nations. Now, you don't have to be very sharp to know these nations, Syria, Iraq, Libya, Egypt, Jordan, and even into Saudi Arabia. Those are the nations that are in the news every day because, practically every day, because of the gross darkness that is upon this earth, this world. Now, what you may or you may not know about those nations is this. They are all, what does that resemble? Muslim, thank you. They are all the way, Somalia. We're just hearing in the news now that Jihadi John, his roots go, he had training in Somalia. All of them are Arabic, Islamic nations. We're talking about prophetic promises here. Very interesting. And by the way, all are Islamic nations, and they are the most gospel-unreached nations in all of the world. That's why I said the gospel has not went all over the world. No, it hasn't. Many of these nations are totally unreached, and they are a great frontier that's waiting yet for the gospel. So we shouldn't be asking the condition of the world. We should be asking, what has happened to the salt and the light? How come has the salt and the light of the Lord Jesus Christ not penetrated these nations? God has promised, my dear people, their light is going to come because they are in the light of the gospel. The Gentiles shall come to the light and the kings to the brightness of thy rising. He's promised. Glorious prophetic promises. Yet it hasn't happened. Where is the light, the salt, and the light? God's promises of the light of Jesus Christ to all the Arabian nations. He promises it. It's a prophetic promise in Christ Jesus, in the church age, in the commission that God has called the church to make disciples of all nations, including the Arabian nations. Amen? They're not excluded. In fact, they're singled out here because they're the descendants of Abraham through Keturah, whom God has promised. God has prophetically promised they shall come unto Christ. Let's move on. There's more here in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 7. It says, all the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. All the flocks of Kedar unto thee, Jesus Christ. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee, Jesus Christ. Promises, prophetic promises to Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ in you and I, the church. Not only the congregation here, but world over. The universal, the worldwide church. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar. Suggesting there's a time they are not accepted. But there's going to be a time when they are converted to Christ. They will come up with acceptance on mine altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, who are these people? Again, prophetic promises. Who are these people? This is another group of people. And again, God is very specific in his prophetic promises of the light of the glorious gospel coming to certain people groups. Who are the flocks of Kedar and the rams of Nebaioth? And God sort of figuratively is speaking here, so you're not going to find it on the surface. You're not going to find it on the surface, my dear people. You got to dig. Just as the jewels and the nuggets of the scripture, they're not laying on the top. You've got to dig down to find those diamonds and those precious stones and precious metals. They're not on the top either, are they? You've got to dig. Well, here's who these people are. Nebaioth and Kedar are the first two sons of Ishmael, whom Abraham, just like the Arabian nations through Keturah, Ishmael is also the son of Abraham through the Egyptian bondwoman, Hagar. Now, God is God. He is immutable. He cannot change. And he promised Abraham, and he cannot lie. He promised Abraham, I'm going to bless you and through your seed. There's going to be a special blessing for all the families of the earth. Abraham is the father of the Arabian nations. And he's also the father of Ishmael. Amen? And so there's also a blessing here because Ishmael is the son of Abraham for the sons of Ishmael. And Nebaioth and Kedar are the first two sons of Ishmael. Genesis 25:13, and these are the names of the sons of Ishmael, by their names according to their generations. Firstborn of Ishmael, Nobiah, and secondborn is Kedar, and then there are some other sons, Adbeel and Mibsam, if I'm saying it correctly. But we're focusing on, in this teaching, Nobiah and Kedar. Now, what's outstanding here is that Muhammad, the Islamic prophet, is a direct descendant of Ishmael's second son, Kedar. So the prophet Muhammad is a direct descendant of Ishmael through his son, second son, Kedar. The Bible also tells us, you know, these things prophetically are spoken in the scripture. Tells us in Genesis chapter 25, verses 17 to 18. I'm not necessarily going to turn there. It says that their dwelling is Assyria. Assyria is modern day. And this all started in Bible times. The Assyria is modern day Saudi Arabia, another Middle East country that is in the news. Not as much as some of the others, but it's there. And Saudi Arabia is the home of Mecca, the most sacred city of the sons of Ishmael, but also an Arabian nation. Now we have the two coming together. We have the Arabian nations, and we have Muhammad, Islamic, Muslims. Saudi Arabia, Mecca, it's also an Arabian nation. Mecca is right here. Saudi Arabia is also an Arabian nation. Mecca, the most sacred city of the sons of Ishmael and their pilgrimages that they make there. And in verse 7, God is fulfilling a promise that God made to Abraham. When God made the covenant, had made a covenant with Abraham, and Abraham was thinking all the while that Ishmael is going to be the promised son of the lineage of the Messiah. He is not. Not what we're teaching here. He is not. The lineage of the Messiah comes through, of Jesus Christ, comes through Isaac. We know that. The promised son. We already said that. Comes through Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. But when God told him, no, Abraham, Ishmael is not the promised son. And God told Abraham, oh God, that Abraham said unto God, oh God, that Ishmael might live before thee. And God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him. And so the lineage of Christ comes through him for an everlasting covenant with his seed after him. And as for Ishmael, I have heard thee as Abraham pled for Ishmael. I have heard thee. Behold, I will bless him. Here in Isaiah 60, this was already prophesied. I'm going to bless him and his descendants, and I will make him fruitful, multiply him exceedingly. 12 princes shall be begat, and I will make him a great nation. Why? God says in chapter 21, verse 13, and also of the son of the bondwoman, I will make a nation because he is thy seed. You see, God promised Abraham that going to bless all your descendants. And so God cannot lie. There is a special blessing for these people. Now, it's not the lineage of Christ. No. And we know that the great conflict in the world, in the Middle East, is because of these two sons of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael. We know that. But yet the fact remains that God has given a great blessing for Abraham's descendants, the Arabian nations, as well as Ishmael and the sons of Ishmael. And it's a gospel blessing. There's a focus for God, from God on them, because they are Abraham's seed. By the way, if you're wondering where a lot of these pictures came from, my wife and I served 6 months in Indonesia, the greatest Islamic nation on earth. And that's where most all of these pictures are coming from. it's there that I really got a burden, and when after that I began to study God's heart for these people, these dear people, and they are dear people. God's promise of the light of Jesus Christ is to all the Arabian nations and the Muslim people. They're both those prophetic promises are right here in Isaiah 60. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar. We spoke about altars this morning. They are going to come up with acceptance on God's altar. And he's going to accept them. And they will, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Now, I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that if the Church of Jesus Christ gets a vision for the prophetic promises that he has already promised here in Isaiah 60, that these Muslim mosques, the day is going to come. Perhaps the day is going to come that these Muslim mosques will become altars and places of God getting, and I will glorify the house of my glory. That's a Muslim mosque in Banda Aceh, Indonesia. I'm just old-fashioned enough to believe that, because my God is big enough to do that. It's yours. Why? Because he has promised. He has promised the day will come. Amen? I'm stretching you pretty hard, ain't I? That's all right. Sometimes we need to be stretched out of our box. Sometimes we need to get pushed out past the mailbox. And sometimes we need to get pushed out past the wash line, too. That's all right. To be stretched. But these are prophetic promises. Amen? Brother Williams up here chuckling. Yeah. These are prophetic promises in Christ Jesus. And they are promises to the church and the church age. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, thus says the Lord. They have another altar now. But the day will come. They will be accepted on my altar. And I will glorify the house of my glory and for my name's sake. Through the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory. God's burden is to use his redeemed possession, the church, to fulfill these promises. That's you. That's me. That's the worldwide church of Jesus Christ. It's these promises. He's depending on the church. He has a strange confidence in the church of Jesus Christ, including the one at Kootenai Valley. He has no other way, may I say, because he has committed these things unto his church, unto us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says, I think I have my reference right. We are the ones that he has committed. He wants us to tune our hearts with his prophetic promises to accomplish his will in making disciples of all nations. Specifically here, the Arabian nation. Specifically here, the Islamic people. But, this is what's tragic. The church, like Hagar, has turned its back on the sons of Ishmael. After Isaac was born, then there was strife between Sarah and Hagar. And Sarah went to Abraham and said, cast out that bondwoman with the son. I will not share the promised son with Hagar and Ishmael. This thing was grievous to Abraham because Ishmael was his son. And the Bible tells us that Abraham commanded his sons after him. God says in Genesis that I know my son. I know Abraham. And he will command his children after him. And I am sure that Abraham had commanded Ishmael after him. And all the promises and all the things that he thought was going to be Ishmael's, he had told him about. But all of a sudden, Abraham discovers he's wrong. And here's the promised son is going to be Isaac from his own loins through Sarah. And so Abraham cast out, gave a little bottle of water and a little bread, and he cast out Hagar, the bondwoman, with her son, Ishmael. And the time came, the water was finished and the bread was finished. And Hagar, this is in Genesis 21, verse 16, said, I turned her back on Ishmael and said, Lord, I don't want to see him die. And that's the exact, and remember, Ishmael is the descendants of all the Islamic people. Ishmael is. She turned her back on her son. And that's a symbolic picture. There's many that you can take out. I do a whole teaching on the cry of Ishmael. I'm just grabbing a little bit for sake of time. And that, the way Hagar, his, now Abraham has rejected his son. And now his mother Hagar turns her back on her son. I don't want to see him die. It's a picture of what the church has done to the sons of Ishmael. World over. World over, my dear people. It's not only, perhaps, in America. I have had the opportunity to go to strong Indonesia. No way. The Christians in Indonesia, and they are there. Many of them are Chinese Christians. We will not do Muslim gospel ministry. No way. I see it in Pakistan. The church in Pakistan, a church, large church, Muslim ministry? No. Turns their back on. Rejected God's promises for these people. And God wants to use his church. I go to Egypt. In these countries, namely Egypt, we teach a teaching, the cry of Ishmael. Egypt, an Islamic nation. Pakistan, Islamic nation. Indonesia, Islamic nation. All of them. Hagar, no, no. Afraid of them. Like one brother said recently, just the other Wednesday night, when I opened, I did this teaching. It's a repeat. It's the second time I'm doing it. And afterwards, I said, I want to hear the church's opinion. It was our home church, by the way. The brother said, boy, you want to have our opinion? Man, this is all new. We need time to digest this. We never heard anything like this. I always thought that the day is going to come that God's going to take these people and he's going to liberate them and throw them into hell without any mercy. You know what? That's the picture of the church worldwide today with these people. But that's not God's heart. And that's not what these scriptures teach. Lord, help us. These scriptures teach that he has a gospel blessing because they're in the lineage of Abraham. And it's a great sorrow to my heart and God's heart, Church of Jesus Christ, world over. This is their response. Just like Hagar turns their back on the sons of Ishmael. It's tragic. And yet God has promised. God has promised. Symbolic of the church's attitude towards the sons of Ishmael, world over. I already covered that. Here in this account, there when Hagar turned her back, an angel came, appeared, and opened Hagar's eyes. The well of water. The well was always there, but she didn't see it. Her eyes were blinded to it. The prayer call of Islam to this day, five times a day. Allah, Allah, yep. Now that may be totally new to you, but that's the Muslim prayer call. Five times a day is a cry for living water. And Jesus Christ is living water. And God's heart is that the church would have rivers of living water flowing out of their bosom, their heart, and take the gospel message to the sons of Ishmael. So the angel appeared and showed her the water. Now it's the church's responsibility to take living water to to the sons of Ishmael. The cry. Five times a day. All them Islamic nations. All the Arabian nations. I've been in some of them. Not all of them. Every day. Five times a day you'll hear this cry for living water. The church has the living water. But it's not obeying too many times and not taking the living water. As the angel opened Hagar's eyes and gave water to her son, and he was spared. The church is, God is waiting on the church to answer that cry, to take living water to the sons of Ishmael. And that this blessing of Isaiah 60 would be fulfilled. Jesus commands his church to evangelize the world, and that includes the Arabian nations and the Islamic people. And when the church disobeys God, there will be consequences. Amen? And I told you the church over has disobeyed God. And that's why we find ourselves, I suggest to you, where we are. What's going on in the world today? In the Middle East. It's because the church is sleeping. The church has disobeyed God. You see, it's not the first time. History repeats itself. Already in Acts chapter 8, Jesus had commanded the early church to take the gospel, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. And they were lethargic and they were staying at home in Jerusalem. And then after Stephen was martyred, great persecution came upon the church. And basically, you could say it this way, the people they were to win to Christ rose up and persecuted them. And then they scattered abroad in Acts chapter 8, verse 1, 2, 3, and they went everywhere preaching the gospel after the persecution. When the church disobeys God, God allows the very people that he commands us to evangelize and win to Christ to rise up and persecute the church. Now, that's frightening. Happened in Acts chapter 8. You can go back into the Old Testament. It happened to the nation of Israel. God had commanded them to be a kingdom that would mediate the love of God and who God is to all the heathen nations around them. They would not, but rather they adopted the heathen nations' gods. They adopted the heathen nations' gods. They disobeyed God in the kingdom and the calling that God had given Israel. And so God said, I'm going to allow the very nations that they were to show who I am to rise up and take them captive. Is that true? And they took them captive. The very people they were to reveal who God is to, but they would not. Then God used them. God allowed them to rise up and take Israel captive. 70 years in Babylon. They learned their lesson. The idolatry worship was finished after they returned back to you. Let's learn lessons from this. I suggest to you that whenever the church disobeys God, there will be consequences and gross and great darkness and things that are frightening will come upon the world. And I suggest to you that what's going on in the Middle East with ISIS is nothing more than a wake-up call, church, to these prophetic promises. A wake-up call. It's a wake-up call. God allows the very people he intended the church to win to Christ to persecute them. And it's happening in the Middle East now. With these Arabian nations and the sons of Ishmael, ISIS. Because the church has been asleep world over. And God is allowing this to happen. And I suggest to you it's a wake-up call. Now, I'm not a prophet. Neither am I the son of a prophet. But it's worthy for us to think about. Amen? Very worthy for us to think about. This has happened repeatedly in history of the church. We're there again, I suggest to you. You know what those pictures represent. The times we're in, my dear people, is a wake-up call to the church. I just heard today, or yesterday, when it was, that they are saying that there's 3,400 Westerners have went over and have joined ISIS. Those are souls that could have been won to Christ, perhaps, and they could have been spared. They are going more and more to join them, to express their anger and rebellion against ISIS. Sent this message after they persecuted those and they killed those, 21 Christians. A message signed with blood to the nation of the cross. Who's the nation of the cross? Who's the nation of the cross? Christians. Wake up call, my dear people. Wake up call to evangelize the world as Jesus Christ commanded. Not only the Muslims, not only the Arabian nations, the world, whom God sent his son for. But here in this text, it is these people, the Arabian nations. Perhaps Isaiah 60 comes to the church as a prophetic warning and an evangelistic plea. That's how I'm giving it to you tonight. It comes as a prophetic warning and an evangelistic plea. America is a melting pot of all nations. These people are in our cities. These people are in our communities. I'm talking about the Arabian nations people now. I'm talking about Muslims. These people are in our workplace. Now, I don't know if you have them up here. Do you? You have anywhere near here? Not very many. But how far do you have to go until you get into cities where they are? How many hours? A couple hours. You don't need to go to those Arabian nations that we've seen earlier. You don't need to go to Syria. You don't need to go to Libya. You don't need to go to Egypt. You don't need to go to those places. There are Islamic people in our country abounding. Now, they may not be right here, but they're in your cities, perhaps in nearby workplaces. And we may ask the question, America is a melting pot of nations. And we may ask the question, why are all these nations coming into America? And they are. I see them. I as we move about, I'm always keeping my eye open for other ethnic nation people groups. Excuse me. We say, well, they're coming here for opportunity and success and business and get ahead financially. Well, that may be true from the social and the economic perspective. That may be true, but how does God see it? How does God look at all this? I suggest to you that the Church of Jesus Christ has not only been lethargic in obeying the command of Jesus to evangelize the world, and for the sake of this message, the Arabian nations, the Islamic people. And so God says, you know what? The church doesn't want to go. I'm going to bring them right under their noses, in their communities, in their cities, and I'm going to put them right where they are. Maybe then they'll catch a vision and a burden to evangelize them. But you know what? If our hearts ain't tuned with God and our hearts are not after his heart, as David's was, we'll miss it. We'll totally miss it. We need to have our hearts in tune with God's heart, in obedience to the commission and the command of the church to evangelize and to make disciples of all nations. And so God brings them right under the noses of the church. But many times, church is asleep. Or it's going its own way. Not always. This is a call tonight to local evangelism, including these people that we've been looking at. This is God's heart. He's bringing them to us. And if we don't win them to Christ, who knows how many more are going to go across and join these fighters, these barbaric, these warrior, these fierce Gentiles. How many more will go? We are called to win them to Christ and bring the living water, open their eyes to the living water of Jesus Christ, as the angel opened Hagar's eyes for Ishmael. They're in our cities. They're about. They're not far away. You may not have them right here in Bonner's Ferry, but they're not far away. And as time goes on, there'll be more, because Islam is the fastest growing religion in the world. Tragic. Church, why? But God promised the light of Jesus Christ will come to the Gentiles. He was specific. He was focused. And he was purposeful. And I'm here to challenge you. And the Great Commission, that we're to make disciples of all nations. Are you specific? Are you deliberate? Are you focused? Are you purposeful about it? Right here in Isaiah 60, when God spoke about the light of Jesus Christ, the light, the glorious light coming, he was focused. He had a people group in mind. And it's the Arabian nation and the Muslims. Are you focused? Or is your evangelism and your outreach haphazard? Well, maybe if I had time. I don't know. But let's take the challenge. We should all be focused on at least a specific people group. Or for starting with our own family at home. But beyond that, it may be a children's ministry, maybe an old people's ministry, some ministry somewhere in being focused. Maybe it's your neighbors. Maybe it's people at the workplace. Maybe it's people here in Bonner's Ferry. But certain specific people you're focused on, bringing the glorious light of the gospel to. As God is here, he's very focused. It's not haphazard or maybe if or whoever. Focused. Focused. Is the church focused? Are you focused? I want to make some practical applications in a few minutes left. Quarter after, huh? Sure. Driving to church, we were discussing this. Time, and I said, yeah, quarter after eight. My wife said, no, we're starting an hour early. I was grateful for that, so I see it's quarter after seven. I want to make some practical applications, continue with some practical applications. I already made a practical application. Focused, targeted in soul winning, in the light of the glorious gospel coming to me in Jesus Christ, and taking that light. Focused people group. Not haphazard. Little here, little now and then. No. Focused. Our conservative, and I just spoke briefly on this morning. Our conservative Anabaptist witness advantage among the sons of Ishmael. And I see this. And I want to share this with you. Because Isaiah 60 is primarily the sons of Ishmael and the Arabian nations, which are all those Islamic nations. We have a specific advantage in bringing the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to them. I'm going to share them with you. Now this is, like I said, it's a cry of evangelism for God's heart and obeying the Great Commission, right where we are. But I'm also focusing on the sons of Ishmael and the Arabian nations. Number one, the sons of Ishmael put strong emphasis, the Muslim people, they put strong emphasis on men as the leaders in the home, the family, leaders in the community, and the men are the breadwinners of the family, with the women being at keepers at home. Islamic people are very strong in that. All these are also our great, as Anabaptist people, our conservative Anabaptist people, this is also our appreciation. So with that appreciation, we have an avenue of bringing the light to them that they would open up to that. Much of the evangelical world and the Protestant world, not as strong as it is among us. So it's an advantage for us as Anabaptist people. Number two, our appreciation for differences in gender roles, along with modest dress and head coverings for the women, which is also the sons of Ishmael's strong appreciation. You get where I'm going with this? We have many things among us that they appreciate, and it's an avenue. It opens the door. And a lot of this comes right out of my own heart and my own experience in Indonesia, living among Muslims. Number three, the sons of Ishmael, Muslims, strong family units. This is village chief in Dayabaro, John. I sat down with him, and he's showing a picture of all of his daughters that he lost in the tsunami. He had a large family, strong family units with great value placed on children is another advantage we have among the sons of Ishmael, for this is also their appreciation. There I am with, I'm a bit younger there, isn't I? There I am. We were in 2006 and 2007 is when we spent half a year amongst the sons of Ishmael in North Sumatra, Indonesia. And I observed these advantages and their expression of these advantages to us. Number four, love for hospitality is another witnessing advantage point with the sons of Ishmael, for they love to be social and are very much a people of hospitality. Here we are. This is our daughter, Loretta. There, here we are in a Muslim home, and they're being very hospitable as we're eating dinner with them. And this is also one of our strengths. All these are advantages amongst these people who God has promised, because they're the descendants of Abraham, the light of the gospel is going to come to them. And they are going to come. They're going to respond. Number five, commitment and dedication to the faith is also a great strength among the sons of Ishmael. When one finds the living water of Jesus Christ, and Ali here, the Achenese people, 3 million strong, in 2007, only ever 50 had been converted to Jesus Christ. In 2007, I don't know where it's at today. Only 50 out of 3 million. And Ali was one of them. And that man was on fire for Jesus Christ to take the gospel to his own people. One finds the living water of Jesus Christ, he'll become a committed evangelist among his own people. And we have an advantage. Now, we didn't bring him to Christ. No, he came to Christ aforetime before we were there. But I hope that's also a strength among us, a commitment and dedication to the faith. Amen? And to evangelize. It sure is theirs, these people, when they come to Christ. Number six. No. Could it be, my dear people, dearly beloved, could it be that God has called us as conservative Anabaptists into his kingdom for such a time as this, to open the eyes of the sons of Ishmael to the living water of Jesus Christ, changing our attitude about these people, whom God has promised a special blessing. And he wants that blessing to be fulfilled in Jesus Christ through the evangelistic effort, witnessing effort of his church, whether it is here or in one of those other countries. Let's be open to the wake-up call of what's going on in the world today. and these prophetic promises that God has promised. I want to close with the four alls of Jesus in Matthew chapter 28. We know the Great Commission. And this is inclusive in the Great Commission. What you heard tonight is inclusive in the Great Commission. Jesus said, all power, the four alls of Jesus in the Great Commission, all power, the word power there is exousia. It means I've empowered you to take my divine influence, my presence, as you go and make disciples. All nations, all people groups, 9,805 people groups in the world, which equates to 7.2 billion souls, including the Arabian nations and the sons of Ishmael. Unreached people groups, 3,264. Unreached, they have no gospel witness among them. Equates to 2.9 billion. They have not rejected the gospel. They had never heard the name of Jesus. And while the church sits many times in its comfort zone, speaking about the second coming of Christ, these people have never heard of the first coming of Christ. 98% of those 3,264 people groups, 2.9 billion, are in Southeast Asia, where MTM is working. And we appreciate the support of the churches of Jesus Christ in America, wherever, Canada, that are supporting MTM, praying for MTM, as we go and by the grace of God, disciple these native Christians that they catch a vision to reach their own unreached people groups because they're most qualified. And that includes, and God is opening the door more and more, to Islamic nations. MTM's already been to Pakistan. MTM's been to Egypt three times. MTM's been to Indonesia. All of these are Islamic nations. And that's how come I could give you the statistics that the church has not reached out with the gospel to Islamic nations, Islamic people. And Lord willing, the Lord is opening the door for MTM to go back to Pakistan later this year. So we have four alls, all power, all nations, teaching them to observe the all things of Jesus Christ. And he promises the fourth all, lo, I am with you always. He promises, and we go and make disciples. He will be with us always. The call of Jesus Christ is to make disciples of all nations. Will you answer the call? Beginning right here at home. As I already shared, America being a melting pot of nations, a melting pot of ethnic people groups. Right here, starting right here, including, as God calls, the Arabian nations and the Islamic people, the sons of Ishmael. God has a work for us to do, as we've been telling the youth. He saved you and I into his kingdom, into his savings account, to spend us for his glory through Jesus Christ to shine forth and for the going forth of the gospel, for his honor and for his glory. Will you answer the call? Will you allow the light of Jesus Christ out of Isaiah 60 here and the glory of the Lord shine upon thee to take the gospel to lost and dying souls, beginning right here at home and beyond, including what we heard tonight? God, our Father, we thank you in Jesus' name for these prophetic promises. that the Gentiles are going to come to the light of Jesus Christ, kings to the brightness of their rising, the abundance of the sea of lost Gentiles, even the forces of the Gentiles are going to come to thee. Thank you, Lord, that we have the privilege and the opportunity to co-labor with you in your power and your promises to be, and you going with us to make disciples and to evangelize lost souls around us. What a privilege that you would commit these things to us. What an honor, Lord. Forgive us where we neglect and we fail and we have turned our back on your great commission, perhaps. And we think, well, that's for others, not for me. You clearly teach us here in Isaiah 60, if we have the light of the Lord Jesus Christ in us, the glory of the light is risen upon us of Jesus Christ. It's to go forth and to burst out. And you promise that they will come. They will see our good works, as you say in Matthew chapter 5. And they too will come and glorify our Father, which is in heaven. You have promised they'll come. Lord, I pray you would empower your church as we surrender to you, as we sacrifice to you. We give our lives to you, and we allow you to empower us to take your divine influence in the presence of lost souls, like David took the divine influence of your presence and your spirit into the room there where there were evil spirits upon Saul. And them evil spirits, they had to flee, and Saul was delivered. God, I pray you would empower the church, and you have empowered the church, but that the church would tune their hearts with you in your eternal purposes in winning the lost to Jesus Christ, including the people groups of the Arabian nations, the sons of Keturah through Abraham, including the sons of Ishmael, the Muslims. Lord, wake up the church. May this thing in the Middle East that's going on, terrible things, wake up the church to Muslim evangelism, Arabian nation evangelism, and beyond, all people bringing the gospel. In Jesus' name, we pray. Where's the course?